special meetings for sure, and our attempts to reach out in love to our community. Jim Johnson, this Sunday morning, regular church time, Sunday evening, Monday evening, Tuesday evening, special meetings, 7 o'clock. Bring your friends and family and some of your enemies. I have good news for you today. Jesus made a very simple statement. It's a simple statement that sometimes I think we have a hard time believing. John chapter 10, verse 27. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said something. Do you believe Jesus? John chapter 10, verse 27. He said, my sheep do something. In John 10, 27, my sheep have something that's true of them. Notice the word, my. This is something where Jesus is announcing ownership. He's declaring that he is the owner of these sheep. These sheep belong to him. My sheep, he says. What do? I've heard rustling of pages around the room, so some of you probably have found John 10, 27. What do the Lord Jesus Christ's sheep do? Yeah. The word is, listen to my voice. Or another translation, hear my voice. That's a declaration of fact. Jesus said, my sheep, hear me. It's kind of simple, isn't it? You're living in a land, the original audience of this is living in a land where they saw shepherds and sheep all the time. The hillsides and the countrysides around every town were filled with sheep with their shepherd. And the method of overseeing sheep back then was not to fence them in with barbed wire or metal panels, but for a person to go out there with the sheep and be in a relationship with them. And what did the sheep do? They knew that that person, usually a teenage boy, sometimes a teenage girl, that person would care for them. And so the sheep paid attention to the voice of that shepherd because they knew that that was the one that led them to green pastures and still waters. So the sheep relied upon the shepherd. The sheep listened to the shepherd. Jesus uses that agronomy or agriculture illustration to make a declaration that's true for the people who heard it then, and it's true for you if you're hearing it today. Jesus' sheep hear his voice. So the question is, have you heard Jesus' voice at one time? And a second question is, are you currently in the ongoing pattern of, experience of, hearing Jesus' voice? What reaction occurred inside your heart as I asked those questions? Hopefully there was a reaction that says, oh, I want to hear his voice. Hopefully a desire is kindled in you that you want to be a person who hears Jesus' voice. But there's another possible emotion that might have welled up in you. For some people, hearing this idea would cause them to say, oh, how come I don't hear his voice? What's wrong with me that I'm not hearing his voice? What's happened that I'm not hearing his voice? Am I not a good Christian? And am I not a good sheep? Why? What's wrong? I want to encourage you that if there's an inkling of desire, you can grow in your ability to hear the voice of Jesus. Jesus is saying to you this morning, you're my sheep. You will hear my voice. So let's pray right now, Lord, increase our ability to hear your voice. Make that your prayer. Lord, increase our ability to hear your voice. In Luke 15, Jesus used another analogy with sheep. It's the parable of the lost sheep. Luke 15 starts this way. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him. The sinners were coming to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, the scribes, began muttering and complaining, saying, oh, this man accepts and welcomes sinners and even eats with them. They thought that a person who hung out with sinners was contaminated by the sinners. They didn't realize that they had it backwards. The truth is that sinners who hang out with Jesus get blessed by Jesus. Jesus doesn't get contaminated by sinners, but the sinners get changed, transformed by Christ. The same is true of you, by the way. The people who are struggling in their walk with Jesus, the sinners coming into your presence, should change, contaminated by you. So here is a risky thing for me to say. Receive it in the same way this parable is spoken. Hang out with sinners. Hang out with sinners. I say that because I trust that the Holy Spirit inside of you is not going to allow you to be dragged down by the sinners. The parable the proverb is true that bad company corrupts good morals. But here's the truth. The Holy Spirit in you is stronger than the sins of the sinners. Jesus hung out with sinners. Jesus' followers hang out with sinners to rescue them, to go and proclaim the truth to them, to help them see that Jesus is strong and powerful and mighty to save. So I'm declaring to you, be people who hang out with sinners. This week, go hang out with some sinners. Some of you, all you have to do is go home to fulfill that command. But some of you need to go to work, and some of you need to go to school, and some of you need to go out in the community and involved in the businesses. Hang out with them. Invite them to meet the one who rescued you and cleansed you so that they too can be cleansed. But Jesus uses this parable to explain the heart of God. And he says in verse 4, "What man among you, if he had 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, searching for it until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he gets home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.'" He says, this is true spiritually. He says, "I tell you," verse 7, "in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance." He says that with his tongue in his cheek because there's no such thing as a righteous person that does not need to repent. It's only the ones who repent who become righteous because of Jesus Christ. But he's painting a contrast for the religious people of the day, saying Christ came to save the lost. The heart of the Father is for the lost. Imagine that lost sheep. It wandered off following one little tuft of green grass after another till maybe its wool is caught in the briars and the rest of the flock is following the shepherd as they're slowly moving the other direction and then all of a sudden it's all by itself. What does it do there? Does it pull and tug? Does it bellow, holler, make funny sounds? Does it cry? Does it even realize it's lost? And what happens inside of it when the shepherd's voice is perceived? Does hope well up? Some of you feel like a lost sheep. Some of you feel like you've wandered away. Some of you feel like you're stuck in the briars. Some of you think that the Lord Jesus Christ has led his flock and has continued on and moved well past you and that there's no hope for you. But I can declare to you that the heart of God is one who searches for lost sheep. And it's calling, calling, calling. Now, I've never had sheep. I've never raised sheep. Some of you have experienced this. All I know are puppies. I've got 7 puppies left. Went out there this morning. They're in their little doghouse with their little light bulb in there, staying nice and warm. But when I open up the gate and say, "Puppies, puppies, puppies," what do? They come running out, yipping and yapping, and they're all excited. Are they excited about me or the food I'm bringing? That's a question there. Sometimes we struggle with that in our relationship with Jesus. Do we love him or what he does for us, what he gives us? But when I call, they come running. Well, until they're fed. After they're fed, then they scatter. After they're fed, they run after the cats, and they run after their mom. The other week, Megan, my daughter, came home to hang out with the puppies a little bit, and we had to go off to work and school, and so she was home by herself last Wednesday and fed them lunch, and then realize that, oh no, I've waited too long. They're no longer interested in this pan of food I have to offer. And nine puppies were going different directions. And she told us later on, Dad, they were chasing the cat into the woods and down the driveway. I couldn't pick up nine puppies. Christ pursues lost sheep and even lost puppies. And he invites you to listen to his voice and follow him, not be distracted by cats, but to search out the voice of God. My sheep listen to my voice. That's Christ's promise to you. Now, just a clarification. When we say Christ's sheep hear his voice, we're talking about a perception. We're talking about an apprehension. We're talking about a realization. Very seldom will you hear audible sounds vibrating around and hitting your eardrum. Occasionally, God speaks that way to his followers. Occasionally, he does that. I wonder if that's not what was true of Samuel, the little boy who was sleeping in the room off to the side of the tabernacle, and as the voice of God was being declared, he perceived it. That might have been an audible voice, but usually, when God speaks, it's an internal communication that's taking place. It's not your eardrum vibrating, but it's your soul vibrating. As God is making himself known, as God is declaring his concepts, his ideas, his truths, so that inside of you, you're sensing, I think this is a word from God. So we want to not just improve the eardrum's ability to vibrate and sync with God, we want to improve our soul's ability, our spirit's ability to perceive the vibrations of God. How do we do that? We talk about being people of prayer, but do you realize that prayer is more about listening than it is about talking? Prayer is more about listening than it is about talking. And here's another truth statement. God never made anybody who couldn't pray. If that's true, then we'd have to say this is also true. God never made anybody who couldn't hear God's voice. Seven times in the beginning of the book of Revelation, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Reach up now, everybody. Get your hands out and close in on the side of your head. Yep, I got one over here. I got one over here. Okay, wiggle them a little bit. They're often kind of unique looking. The older you get, the bigger they get, which is not always nice. But okay, then reach over and grab your neighbor's ears. Do they have ears over there? Yeah. Careful what you do. Okay, the other neighbor. Okay, if you have an ear, let you hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, what's true physically is true spiritually. If you've got an ear, you can hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Christ wants you to hear. In my home yesterday were two pregnant women. I hid most of the day. Because not only were there two pregnant women, there were two little girls. I put on my shoe this morning, and I felt something funny, but I didn't check it until later on, and I realized there was something that I don't even know what it was. Sticking my sock to the inside of my shoe. I tried my best to wipe it off, but I'm going to have to go home and use some soap and water. I don't know what it was, but they dropped something in my shoe. The one young lady had a baby bump, a large baby bump. When did she do? It can't be much longer. January? I was thinking about that baby in there. You know that babies develop the ability to hear very early? That baby has been listening to its mommy for many, many weeks. In fact, that baby has been listening to its daddy for many, many weeks. The two little girls that are already out of the womb, they love their daddy. In fact, when their daddy came driving up into our yard in his big, loud pickup and all dressed in his orange hunting gear, the girls were squealing, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." They were so excited to see their daddy coming home. They loved to sit and talk to their daddy. The one night, a couple days ago, the girls weren't there, but Daddy was on his iPhone with FaceTime talking to his girls, looking at each other. The girls love to listen to their daddy's voice. And that's what God wants to be true of you and I. That we love to listen to our daddy's voice. But how do we improve our ability to do that? Look with me at God's instructions to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I love my iPad for the large, bright font I can get, but I closed out that page, and it takes forever to flip between books compared to just turning paper pages. Hebrews chapter 5, the end paragraph of the chapter. I have the Amplified version here. The Amplified version tries to help us understand different concepts by using additional words to explain the concept. So there's a little bit of commentary woven into it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Concerning this, we have much more to say to you." Concerning what? Well, concerning who Jesus Christ is and how he became perfect and how he became the source of eternal salvation and how he was designated by God as high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Deep concepts about Christ's ministry to us. But he says in verse 11, "Concerning this, we have much more to say." There's more to say. There's more to understand. There's more to learn. There's more to then apply and live out. "But concerning this, we have much more to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull and sluggish in your spiritual hearing and disinclined to listen." Oh, what an indictment that is. The author is saying, I've got more to tell you. I've got more deep truths of God to reveal to you. There's more blessings and promises to claim. There's more about who Christ is and what he's accomplished on your behalf and what it means to live in a daily relationship with him. There's more. There's more. But you're not listening. You become disinclined to listen. You become sluggish in your hearing. May that never be true of us. And if it has been, may it change starting today. Verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers because of the time you've had to learn these truths, you actually need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of God's Word. And you have come to be continually in need of milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is doctrinally inexperienced and unskilled in the word of righteousness, being a spiritual infant." What an indictment. Someone being unskilled in the word of righteousness. Sometimes we need to hear the bad news to wake us up. These people received a horrible declaration of their status in their walk with Christ. Infants, unskilled, sluggish. But the good news comes in verse 14. "But solid food is for the spiritually mature, whose senses are trained by practice to distinguish between what is morally good and what is evil." Senses trained by practice. Senses trained by practice. Powers of discernment increased by constant practice. You have a physical sense of hearing. You have a spiritual sense of hearing. It can be trained by practice. Your discernment can be heightened. I was thinking of John Stromstad. Is he here this morning? If I understand things right, his job is to discern health of plants. Is that right? Is that what he does? Yeah? Okay. He has to discern the health of a plant, of a crop. Does it need a fungicide, an insecticide, more fertilizer? What is the condition of that plant? He needs a sense of discernment. Now, if you hired me to go tell you how healthy your crops are, you'd get a really bad set of advice. Because I have no practice with discerning health of crops. I could say, those are green and those are greener. That's about it. But John has practiced discerning health of plants. He's had training. He's watched YouTube videos about it. Isn't that how most of you learn how to do something? That's how I learned to fix my car. What about your discernment of God's Word? This verse, 14, Hebrews 5:14, is saying that they've had their senses of discernment, their powers of discernment increased by constant practice, constant use, constant deploying of them. What they have done is they've looked to God. They've looked at God's Word. They've listened to God's Word. They've picked up their Bible and they've read God's Word. And as they've immersed themselves in God's Word, they've had the renewing of their mind taking place. And as that's going on, they're growing in their ability to discern God's voice. It says discern right from wrong, good from evil, whatever phraseology you might use. What is that? That's God declaring, this is right, this is wrong. This is truth, this is lie. This is my word, that's the world's voice. If you want to grow in your ability to discern, you need your senses increased and improved, and you do that by constant immersion in God's word. You are called to be a sheep who hears voice, God's voice. How do you improve your ability to hear God's voice? You listen to God's voice some more. You spend time listening to God's voice, what you know to be God's voice. You surround yourself with the stereo of God's voice bombarding you. And the more time you do that, the better you're able to pick out His voice and hear it in the crowd. The enemy bombards you with what one friend of mine calls weapons of mass distraction. Worse than a nuclear bomb, worse than a chemical agent, is a demonic weapon of mass distraction that attempts to cause you no longer to be able to have senses that perceive God's voice. The weapon tries to, or the enemy tries to overwhelm you with a weapon of mass distraction of busyness, so you're so caught up in doing things like Martha that you're never able to, like Mary, sit at God's feet and listen. Or the enemy tries to destroy your ability here with the mass distraction of other voices, where you're getting up in the morning and you're looking at your own face or your family's face or the Facebook and never looking at the face of God. I challenge you this week, look to the face of God before any other face. Or the weapon of mass distraction of an unprepared heart. Jesus was speaking and many weren't listening. They weren't perceiving. They weren't hearing. Especially the religiously proud and arrogant leaders of that day. Pastor Morris has written a book, and in it he says, God comes to a prepared heart. God comes to a prepared heart. Would you come before God on a regular basis and say, God, speak to me. God, reveal yourself to me. Bring fresh encounter with you, God. Immerse yourself in God's already revealed word, so that then you carry it with you throughout the day, continuing to hear God speak about that word that you're meditating on or some other insight that He's going to bring to you. We are not cessationists. A cessationist believes God ceased talking. He wrote the Bible and He stopped. He put His pen down and He closed His lips, never to speak again. We are people who believe God has spoken, God will speak, God is speaking. Primarily, He speaks through the Word. As you pick up the Word, it is not just pen or paper and ink. It is now the Word that God causes to come inside of us and move around and interact with us so that we are perceiving God currently, presently, now. Then He speaks through His agents, through His people, through His Spirit interacting inside of us. But if you want to perceive God through the spiritual gifts or through His people, through His angels, you first immerse yourself in His already revealed word. Do that. Why do we say that? Because you can grow in your ability to hear God. You can grow in your ability to hear God. Proverbs 2, starting at verse 1. And remember, the book of Proverbs is all about Jesus being the personification of wisdom. The book of Proverbs is all about Jesus being depicted as the personification of wisdom. When you hear wisdom in Proverbs, say, that's Jesus. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, and notice if and then. Notice if and then. My son, if you receive my words, treasure up my commandments, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver, and if you search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, the perception of God, the truth of God. You will hear God. There's an if-then clause. There's a birth, spiritual birth that starts the hearing process. And there's a journey of pursuing God. The more you pursue Him, the greater your attuning of your ear to hear Him. Walk out of here believing this truth. I'm God's sheep. I will hear God's voice. Let's pray. Lord, increase our ability to hear. Increase our being attuned to you. Increase our ability to perceive, receive you. Thank you for the promise that your sheep hear you. Now let us be sheep who stick by your side, who are constantly listening in, tuning in. Rescue us from the weapons of mass distraction and enable us to grow ever more adept at hearing your voice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.